I don't know how many times you have had the experience of doing something wrong, making a bad decision of one kind or another that deserves consequences. And somehow, through the mercy of God or others, or some family member or friend, you avoided those consequences. That's certainly true of me any number of times. How many times have I sinned and not gotten caught? How many times have I been neglectful of others and they're so kind and merciful in response? That second reading, St. Paul sees himself in this way. He says, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, which doesn't sound like a nice guy at all. But I have been mercifully treated. And that letter of Paul to Timothy is written many years after his conversion. And he's still mindful of the mercy that has been shown to him. He's ever mindful of the mercy that has been shown to him. In that first reading, God is testing Moses. Will Moses have mercy on his brothers and sisters as Moses has been shown mercy? Because we have to remember, if you read through earlier in Exodus, Moses was a murderer. He had to flee Egypt because he murdered an Egyptian. And then even when God called him, he argued with God endlessly, trying to get out of the responsibility of leading the Israelites out of slavery. You can see God getting almost impatient with him. And then here, in this reading today, God says to him, go down to your people, whom you brought out of Egypt. He's testing Moses. Did Moses bring the people out? Are they the people of Moses? And then God tests him in a second way as well. He says, let me alone, that my wrath may blaze up and consume them. Then I'll make of you a great nation. Will Moses stand up for his brothers and sisters and have mercy on them as he had been shown mercy? And Moses replies, nah, they're your people. You brought them out of Egypt. And please remember the oath that you swore to Abraham that you would always have mercy and preserve your people. Moses remembered the mercy that he had been shown, and it led him to have mercy on others. In the gospel, the Pharisees and the scribes are not willing to have mercy on the tax collectors and sinners. They seem to be unaware of any mercy that God may have shown them. And so Jesus shares these three marvelous parables. He says that one sheep is lost. Really, all 100 are lost. They're in the desert, the gospel says. But only one is aware of it and is wandering off trying to find something else. I don't want to get out of this desert. I don't want to stay in this desert. And the shepherd has mercy on that lost and wandering sheep. The Pharisees and the scribes don't seem to care about lost and wandering. Maybe they're not aware of how they've been lost and wandering. In both the parable of the lost sheep and of the lost coin, there's the desire not to lose anyone or anything. And there's the great desire to share the overflowing joy at finding the lost sheep and the lost coin. God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to celebrate. He wants us to enjoy the mercy that he shares with us. All three of those parables end with, let's rejoice. That's what God desires for us. And so many times we can be like that elder son and kind of be imprisoned in our own world of slavery. And God is calling us to look up. Joy. Remember the mercy that you've received. And show that mercy to others and celebrate it. And then that third parable is the great one, right? We see the whole trajectory there of rejection of relationship, of running to the world, and the realization of trouble. The younger son has no mercy when he leaves his father and older sibling. He can't wait to get free of them. Have you ever felt that way toward another? They're going on, and in the head you're thinking, get me out of here. Ever? Later, when the world has betrayed him then, and he's exhausted, and then he remembers the only place that he has to go, and he hopes to be shown a mercy that he himself never showed. The older son has no mercy for the younger one, and he seems not to have any mercy for the father either, given the way that he lashes out at the father. He has no mercy on anyone because he's never realized his own need for mercy. He's never admitted his own sinfulness. I've done everything right, everything for you. I've slaved for you. I've done everything for you. He's perfect, apparently. And the father, he's the fount of mercy. He lets the younger son go away. You can only wonder how he may have tried to talk to his younger son, encourage him to stay. But when the younger is obstinate, he considers it better to let him go than to imprison him at home. He's not into imprisoning anybody. The older son has imprisoned himself. One can imagine the father over time trying to talk to the older son to encourage him to be free, to find joy, to invite him into relationship. But the older son was so imprisoned in anger at his brother for being a bad brother and a bad son, and apparently angry at his father for not making the younger son a prisoner just like himself. He should be just as miserable as I am. The father's always trying to help his children to see their need for mercy. And when one sees it, then just like the shepherd and the woman, he rejoices, wants to celebrate. His immediate response is joy. Let's have a feast because this son of mine has finally realized he's a sinner and in need of mercy. He's finally ready to show mercy to others. But then, even in the midst of the feasting, the father never forgets his first son either. And he goes to him, reminding him of the mercy he's already received. Everything I have is yours. But the older son can't see the father's mercy, only his brother's sins. It fills up his whole world. And it's a great challenge to us. That person that I struggle with, do I only see his or her sins? Can I see as the Father sees? Can I see my own sins and the mercies that I've received, undeserving as I am, sometimes even ungrateful as I am? It's so important to strive to see where we have received mercy because it helps us to be merciful in turn. Maybe I can begin to see beyond the sins of my brother or sister. So here's the homework for the week. Remember, try to remember situations where you've made poor, sinful choices, and try to see then where you've been shown mercy, whether by God or by another. And then be ready and even be eager to show mercy to another. Celebrate that mercy wherever you see it.